Good morning. Can everybody grab a seat? Most of you noticed that we have materials and samples on this table over here. For those of you who just walked in, after Gwen Thomas and I finish today, you can help yourself to whatever's on the table, unless it's got a little white tag on it that says, please do not take. But most of the materials that we brought, a lot of catalogs and brochures for events that we have held at our school, and we hope they're helpful for you. I know that I enjoy looking at catalogs from other schools, from their auctions, because it gives me ideas in regard to things that we can be doing. We learn from you as well. My name is Gene Lichty. I am the development director at Cary Christian School in Cary, North Carolina. We will be hosting the ACCS conference next year. We're going to bring it to our neck of the woods, and I hope to see all of you there as well. Everybody awake this morning? Ready to go? All right. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and our King, indeed, we are grateful for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for faithfully causing the sun to rise upon Atlanta this morning, for putting air in our lungs and giving strength to our legs that we might walk through this day. We ask that as we walk through it, as we walk through this gift that you've given us, that you would teach us what you would have us know, that you would equip us better for the various roles and responsibilities you've given us. We praise you this morning for the opportunity that we have in the towns that we come from to build kingdom through classical and Christian education. We thank you for the privilege of serving you in this way, and we ask this morning that you would equip us more for the tasks before us. In Christ we pray. Amen. This is the seventh conference that I have attended, ACCS conference that I have attended, and it's the fifth time that I'm speaking, that I'm doing a workshop. And I say that because I think it's funny, and it's a little bit humbling. After 2 years of doing development at Cary Christian School, I was suddenly the expert. That's how young we are as a group of as schools and a group of like-minded folks, that after 2 years of doing it by trial and error and trying to figure out what development is. I'm a marketing guy. I've been a marketing guy for 25 years. I went to college to learn how to do marketing and telecommunications and buy ad space and things and worked in ad agencies. But when I arrived in Cary, North Carolina, I hadn't done a lick of development. And 2 years after arriving there, I was asked by Patch Blake and some of the folks in Moscow if I consider taking the things that I knew and conveying them to others, other like-minded folks. And I said, I don't know very much. I can take everything that I know and fit it into a thimble. And they said, that's okay, because their thimbles need filling. And so I've been for the last couple of years serving the ACCS in ways that I can. But I learn from you as well. And we're all in this together, and we're learning as we grow. So anyway, how many of you are actually development directors? You're the director of development at your school, okay? And how many folks in this room actually do development work? They just don't have the title. They don't have the the glory of the title or the responsibility of that. And how many of you do event planning? You raise funds through events, all right? And how many of you raise funds through events exclusively? That's the only way money comes into the school outside of tuition, is just fundraising. Okay, that's not good. Okay, that's something that you want to avoid. I ran into Susan Carter in the elevator yesterday, and she's been coming to ACCS conferences for 2 years or so now. Last year we talked in Texas when we were in Austin, and she said, "I'm really surprised at the title of your talk this year, at the workshop, because you always minimize events and event planning because it only gets you so far. You see that one of the items on the outline is percentages." And it's been my experience that event planning and monies that come in through events comprise only about 25% of the total that you have. This is a part of your development strategy. Events are important, but they're only a part, or should only be a part, of your development strategy in getting you where you need to go. Gwen Thomas, the woman you're going to meet in a few minutes, and the woman who's going to carry us through most of this workshop this morning, she's been with me for 5 years. I couldn't do the work or accomplish the things that I need to accomplish and meet the goals that are set before me if I didn't have her on board. But the amount of money that she raises is only about 25% of the total that we have coming in at Cary Christian School. You have two funnels, you have two flows of money coming into the school outside of tuition. One is annual fund money, and all the money that comes to the annual fund is for enhancing existing programs and services. So you've got financial aid and scholarships. People can give to athletics, they can give to science and technology, they can give to the arts, they can give to enhancing the library through the Friends of the Library. You can do things like that. And then the other way you can give to the school outside of the annual fund is the capital campaign. All the money that comes in through events helps increase the money that comes into the capital campaign at Cary Christian School, and that's the way we run it there. I wouldn't be, as I said a few minutes ago, I wouldn't be successful in my role without someone assisting me in event planning. Event planning would take up 80 to 90% of the valuable time that I have to serve Cary Christian School if I didn't have someone like Gwen Thomas in that role. And I, quite frankly, don't have the skill sets that are necessary for an event planner. I'm not that guy. I don't even want to be that guy. I'm not a grant writer, and I don't want to be a grant writer either. I'm a people person. I love to talk about the school. I like to bring people into the school. I like to develop relationships with donors who can do much by writing checks to advance the vision and the mission of the school. And that's an important role. One thing that I would suggest that you do if you're a development director, if you're one of the people who raised your hands first, and I said, how many folks in here actually have that title and serve in that way? You need to find your Gwen Thomas, okay? You need to find that person who has the skill sets. And when I say skill sets, here's what I mean. Your event planner, your event coordinator for your school, needs to be someone, first of all, who represents the school well. Okay, they love God. They have their children at the school. They don't necessarily have to have children at the school, but if they do have children that are of school age, they need to be on board with the school enough that they have placed their children in the care of the teachers and the administrators that are part of the school. They have to be organized. All right, they have to be able to pay attention to a great many details all at the same time. I'm certainly not that guy. My wife will tell you that I am not that guy. More of a big picture person. Your event coordinator also, in order to be successful, needs to be someone that has been around the school a long time and knows a lot of folks. All right, why is that important? Why is that necessary? Because we rely so much on volunteers. All right. And so that event coordinator needs to be someone who's been around for a long time. When I arrived at the school, I didn't know, I didn't know anybody, and we already had 400 children and 200 families, and it was necessary that I bring someone along after being there for a little while, after getting my legs under me, who could introduce me to folks and who knew more of the people and knew who had good skill set that could come along as communications coordinator for a particular event or something like that. And so Gwen Thomas, who I'd like to have stand right now, is that person. Give her a round of applause. Anyway, and Gwen's gonna speak from behind the podium. And what we're gonna do this morning is she's got a lavalier, I have a lavalier. She's going to talk a lot about the specifics of running successful events, and I'm gonna chime in every once in a while from a chair right over there. And hopefully this will be profitable for you. We'd also like to be able to have a little time at the end to answer some of your questions. We're all different. We'll have over 800 students at our school this year. 475 families make up the community at Cary Christian School. We want to be able to have you take the things that we share with you today in regard to successful event planning and be able to, take them and not plunk them down in the same way that we do them, but modify them in a way that they need to be modified so that you can be successful at the school you're at with maybe 70 kids or 180 kids or 350 children. All right? So, Gwen?
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for coming. It is such a pleasure to work with Gene. He and I are different. He's got such great vision and everything, and I just come behind and tie up all the details and so forth. And so we do really complement each other, which has been able to allow us to really bless the school. We're going to try and go by the syllabus in your Got that?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. In the notebook, but I know that in certain places we're going to deviate a bit. That was one of those things where we need to lay the foundation way back in March or February when we were in the midst of an auction, and that was about the last thing I wanted to think about was what was going to happen in June. So we will deviate a bit. But some of the things that we do want to talk about is, first of all, what events to tackle and what to avoid. At your school, you probably have a lot of fundraising going on. You may be doing things like selling chocolate bars, gift wrap. You may be doing auctions and other fundraisers. And just exactly what events should your development coordinator or development office tackle? And the way we look at it at Cary Christian School is the development office is obviously raising money for large events, for capital campaign. So we need to have events that are going to bring in thousands of dollars, not things that bring in hundreds of dollars, which are your chocolate bars and Chick-fil-A calendars and things like that. At Cary Christian School, we do have other groups within the school that do those things. And so that has kind of brought about situations for us that we need to try and avoid, and that is just confusion. When someone buys a Chick-fil-A calendar, we want to make sure that they understand that they're not supporting the capital campaign, that we still hope that they would have some resources left to support the capital campaign through the different development events. And so we try to be in real good communication with the Boosters Club that we have, with the, we call it PTF, your PTA-type organization, and obviously the administration as well. And we try to just avoid the confusion and also the volunteer source. You've got PTF that is, you know, needing volunteers to do their socials and their fundraisers, and we want to make sure that that doesn't back into taking resources from our events, you know, and vice versa. We just try to reciprocate on that. Another item on that is in your calendar. When you have these other events going on, our PTF does some social events, muffins for moms and donuts for dads and so forth, and we try that, to lay out the calendar. In fact, our calendar is laid out at least a year in advance, and we have certain dates that are our dates type thing, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But we do work with the PTA calendar, the athletic calendar, obviously the academic calendar, and try to avoid conflicts within those groups. And, you know, for us to have PTA's largest fundraiser on the heels of ours is not best for either group. And likewise, to have our auction in the midst of the drama program is not beneficial for the the turnout at the auction, and so we try to avoid that.
That's right. The PTF that she's referring to is our parent teacher fellowship, and they raise about $10,000 a year, and the money that they raise throughout the year goes to making life more enjoyable for the teachers. They'll host our they'll put foods together for our monthly all staff meetings. They'll host a Christmas dinner for the staff, those types of things. But they have their own little fundraisers. They have their own little auctions that occur through the year. So it's important for us to be able to mark our... We have three big events that we have through the year at Cary Christian School that are put on by development. In October, we have a golf tournament this year, and that's been scheduled for a year out. And then in February of every year, we have a benefit auction at the local country club. And that's been booked for 2 years already. And another thing that you need to be able to, if it's a good venue, it's going to book early. And so you're forced, actually, as a development director or as an event coordinator, whatever your title is, to be looking far ahead on the calendar and securing dates. And so PTF, because we secure our dates so early for the golf tournament and for the benefit auction and for our walkathon in the spring, because we secure those dates more than a year in advance, they joyfully work around us on the calendar, or we try to work it that way, they work around us on the calendar, so that we're allowing breathing room for volunteers, so that we allow people to sort of recuperate from investing themselves in one event before they're asked to participate in something else. Let's face it, we have this pool of families, whether it's 100 families or whether it's 480 families that are a part of your school, and you can only go to the well so many times through the year, right? And so you have to sort of spread things out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So just kind of summarize some of that introductory information there. To incorporate your events into your school's development program, you want to determine what you're raising the money for, your large capital expense, not the little cubbies or athletic uniforms or something. We're talking athletic fields, okay? So bigger scope. And then determine what events you can hold that will raise the sums of money that you really need. As Jean just said, you know, we do a walkathon or a student fundraiser, golf, and an auction. And then get those on the school calendar so that you're not overlapping. We're talking about how to do event planning overall. So I'm not going to specifically talk about how to do a golf tournament, how to do an auction or whatever. But what I want to do right now is just kind of go through our events to give you an idea of what we do, and then we'll talk a little bit about more specifics in them as we go. So here's just an overview. Because we're trying to generate the sums of money that we're talking about, we carefully and purposely orchestrate just three events during our school calendar year. And we try to strive to do each one with excellence for those three events. We start off in the fall with our golf tournament, as Jean said. And this event targets the business people in the business community. Most of our funds that are coming in through sponsorships, and those are through businesses versus the families at our school. This gives those businesses the opportunity to give back to the school, which they do enjoy. And as I said, it also is one of the times when we're not always going to the parents and asking them for money time and time again. At this event, we have our seniors, a handful of those, whatever is required for that event, in their blazers, on the golf course, helping the golfers. They're running the events that might be out there, if it's a putting contest or whatever. And for these golfers to come and see our students and interacting with them says so much about the quality of what we are producing. You know, it does so much more than any words can ever that we try to relay to them. And so for them to actually interact with our students has just been a great bonus that we have found out of that event. In the winter, we have our large benefit auction, and this one is tailored more towards our parents and their guests. It's kind of twofold. We raise money for the capital campaign, that's a good one, and then also it does promote fellowship. And so we try to price it so that we can have a large number of our families, couples at the event. It is an adult-only event right now for our auction. But we'll have about 200 to 300 guests there. And we kick it off with an online auction, mainly because we ran out of real estate in the room that we were at, and so we had to offset our silent auction and grow it somehow, and that's how the online came about. But the evening itself, we have the silent section. We'll have some extra games to just engage the participants there. And then we have a live auctioneer, and we have used the same auctioneer for 5 years, I believe. His name is Jim Miller with Charity Miller Charity Auctioneer, and he has really been a blessing to us. And I'll talk a bit more about the advantages of having a charity auctioneer. We have students working the event again, and we also try to incorporate some type of student performance at the auction as well. The parents love that, and the guests that they bring are just in awe as well of what we can accomplish at our school, the poise that our students have, and so forth. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Y'all have those same, you know, just exceptional students at your school.
That's right. Gwen, can I interject just for one second? Gwen just brought up an important point that I should have mentioned earlier when I was speaking before I even introduced her. If events were only events and the energy and the time and the resources that you pour into them, if they were only about bringing dollars into the school, I wouldn't do them. We wouldn't even have them. But hosting events like golf tournaments and benefit auctions serve as a marketing tool as well. And they aid me in development. Okay, so as someone in the community determines that they're going to be sponsoring a hole for $1,000, and that hole sponsorship at a golf tournament, it gets them 4 players on the course. And I talk to them, and I'll say, look, and he owns a real estate company, but he's got 3 other partners, and he brings them to the tournament. And then we have our students, as Gwen said, working the tournament, our brightest and our best, the ones who can, you know, put best foot forward for Cary Christian School. They're there. And they see that. And as they come into the clubhouse and we're running a silent slideshow that shows the school, we bring the school to them. You know, we don't host events on our campus. We have them either at the golf course, or maybe the benefit auction is in the ballroom of the country club. It behooves us, it's wisdom for us, to bring the school to them, since we're not bringing them to the school, and putting a best foot forward that way. So there's a marketing element to these events. And there's also a communication element to the community as a whole. Because we're not doing our job well if we don't have the media there. If we're having a walkathon with 800 kids in their plaid skirts and their little khaki shorts and things walking to raise money for their school, if we don't have them there, if they're putting together 100,000 meals for the hungry in Haiti and Zambia, that's a news story. So bring them in. It's about more. Hosting an event is about more than bringing money into the school. And if that's the only way that you're seeing it, then you don't understand the half of what you're doing, and you're probably not taking advantage of all the things you need to be taking advantage of to really advance the vision and the mission of the school and raise the level of visibility in a community. I'm just going to say one more thing. This isn't even my workshop. This is her workshop. But oftentimes, let me tell you what happened this fall. We hosted a golf tournament like we always do. The one that we're hosting in October this year will be our 9th golf tournament. And after the tournament was over, and we're sitting in the clubhouse because we always have a dinner afterwards for all the players, and they enjoy that. You want to make the event enjoyable so that next year you don't have to work as hard at getting all the sponsors. The sponsors that I have this fall, and I've already got my sponsorship, we've already got about 25 sponsors for this fall, and so you need to work ahead. But 80% of the sponsors that I have for this fall played last year and sponsored the year before and the year before. So if you're in your first year of getting sponsorships and it seems hard, take heart. If you do a good job and you give them an enjoyable time and you feed them well, and it'll be easier next year, it'll be easier the year after that, and the year after that as well. But at the tournament this past year, in 2008, November of 2008, I sat down at the dinner beside a guy that I don't know very well, and he asked how the school was doing and how the families are impacted by what's going on with the economy. And I said, you know, it's hard for some of the families. I said, I know right now that we have 5 families that can't pay tuition, and they've been with us for a very long time at the school, and we're going to carry them, because God's put us in a position where we can. And so they had to stop paying tuition, one in September, one in October, one at the beginning of November. And pretty soon, those 5 families, they're 18 children already just in the fall that we're sort of carrying. And as soon as the parents can start paying tuition again, because God provides a job, we'll do that. So I'm talking to him about a need that the school has. And he said, well, how much money does that represent? And I said, about, you know, close to $30,000 to catch us up and get them through the end of the year, some of those families. And he said, okay. And the next week, I had a check, you know, for $30,000. I made more by just sitting down with him and having an honest conversation in 5 minutes than we raised in the tournament after all the, you know, golf tournaments are expensive. But that's what I'm talking about. This is the type of thing I'm talking about. I get introduced to people, and I get opportunities as the development director. Gwen's over there worrying about making sure that this is an enjoyable tournament for everybody. And she's raising $25,000, let's say, at the golf tournament. I sit down for 5 minutes, and we get another $30,000. But it's because of the golf tournament. It's because of the opportunity that event afforded me. And so it's very hard to be able to assess exactly all the benefit of having an auction and pouring yourself and your energy and your resources into it. But always, and this is why I stood up in the first place. I'm sorry. I'll just sit down. But this is why, part of the reason why you want to bring your students, the brightest and the best, the school, to the event and show them up. They're the greatest asset that we, the staff and the students are why we're doing this in the first place. you know? And if they're and if they look like our students, they're the best-selling tool that I have. Come see. Come see our staff. Come see our kids. Oh, we're not having it there? I'll bring them to you. So, anyway, sorry.
That's okay. That's great. Thank you. The third event that we do is our student fundraiser. And this is the time when we ask our students to raise money for their school. Gene will go from class to class. He'll explain to them that all year long he has been working for them to bring in dollars for the school, and this is the one opportunity that they have to actually raise money for their school. We have done a walkathon for the previous 6 years, and what the students would do is they would secure pledges and walk 9 holes of a golf course. The parents would drop the students off at the golf course in the morning. They would do their walk, and then we would take them back to school on that day. So we did do it on a school day. One of the reasons for that was to ensure 100% participation. And the walkathon is a real great beginner event. There's not a lot of planning that needs to go on with it, and you'll generate quite a bit of money with it as well. The expenses for a walkathon tend to be quite low as well if you do it similar to what we did. But this year we did change our student walkathon, our student fundraiser, and instead of doing a walkathon, what we did was we incorporated a service project with it. We partnered with a local nonprofit group called Stop Hunger Now. And Stop Hunger Now makes dried meals for needy people in other parts of the world. Our particular meals went to Haiti and Zambia. And so Stop Hunger Now converted our gym into this assembly line. It was pretty amazing. And we were dealing with someone who was a lot different than me as well. I would ask him questions, and he'd say, oh, don't worry about it. I'm thinking, Gene, I'm going to kill you. I worry about these things. But it turned out great. It was just an excellent event for us. The students got to learn a little bit more about hunger. I mean, we're in Cary, North Carolina. It's not really a poor area. Not that our parents are super wealthy, but we don't worry about hunger. Okay, there is always food in our pantries. And so for them to get a glimpse of what hunger is all about was great for them. It was good that they were able to convert their energies instead of just walking on a golf course and, you know, chit-chatting the whole way or going through some of their songs and chants. They were actually doing the Lord's work, and they were able to package these meals. And the teamwork that we saw come out of that was just incredible. You know, if something was needed, they improvised. They were able to just think on the spot. They were able to fill all kinds of needs. And there was more out of that event, came out of that, than we realized would ever come out of an event. Those intangibles that you just don't realize. We raised more money than we had expected to do. So our expectations on that were skyrocketed. As I said, the organizational time was minimal. Mm-hmm. And because Stop Hunger Now did so much for us. The benefit to the school and to the staff was great. And on top of all that, the benefit to the people that actually received those meals obviously was just priceless. And so for us to partake in that event was just great. So I hope that gives you an idea of what to do. You want to have just a few selected events. Start off with just one event. Stagger them throughout the year. Don't have them back to back. Do each one with excellence. That way you're going to be able to grow on those each year. If it's hectic, disorganized, sponsors aren't pleased with what their benefit was, you're not going to be able to retain them. You're not going to be able to retain your volunteers and so forth. But if you're able to stick with those guidelines there, I think you'll be able to get some real powerful results. On your outline in your binder, it talks about laying a foundation. And that's what we'll do. That's how we're going to start planning your event. Most of your foundation can be done by your development office. If you have an event coordinator, that person can do it, or your development director. You may have heard the saying, prior planning prevents pitifully poor performance. I like to state it a little bit more positively, and that would be prayerful planning promotes powerful performance. And that is the first step in your foundation. You know, begin with prayer, continue with prayer, and end with praise. And that is just a great way to start any event. In your goal setting is next step in your planning of your event. Just like any journey, you're going to need to know where you're going, how much it's going to cost you to get there, how much you're willing to invest in that. As Jean said, your fundraising is only a portion of your total development goal, and so keep in mind what you need to raise for your event. Translated into dollars, you know that you are raising money for X, you know, an addition to your building, athletic fields or whatever, but actually put a number on it so that you know what you're targeting for. And then just set up a regular budget. A good rule of thumb to know when you're planning an event is that your expenses will probably be about 25% of that. If you can keep it under, that's great. But we found about 25% is what we hit. And so if you are trying to raise $75,000, you're going to really need to try and raise $100,000 because $25,000 is going to be expenses themselves. And then just start by going through your expenses and costing them out. You're going to have a venue. You may need some food or refreshments of some type, printing of invitations and other advertising materials, decorations, professional entertainment. You may require an auctioneer or a golf tournament captain to run that. You may need to rent tents, tables, chairs, linens, all those kind of fun things as well. Make a list of all your expenses. Now what we need to do is figure out how are we going to raise enough money to cover those expenses and go ahead and reach our goal. And so we're going to look at the income side of our budget. And there's four ways that we can raise money during an event. Four that I wrote down here anyways. And one is from the event itself. Those are going to be your entry fees, the admission tickets to get in, buying the items at your auction, the student pledges from your walkathon or student event. Estimate how much you think this will bring in. If you think about a student fundraiser, if you have 200 students participating and each student could secure $50 each in pledges, then you'd raise $10,000. Okay, if we can stretch them to maybe raise $75 each, then all of a sudden you've raised $15,000. We ask our students to set a goal to try and raise $100 each on the walkathon or the Stop Hunger Now project. And it averages out to be about $75 per student. So also know, too, that not everybody's going to reach that goal. When you have siblings in the family, there's only so many grandparents that can give to that family. And so it gets a little bit challenging to, you know, have each child in the family do $100 each. Another source of income is through sponsorships. You may have a presenting sponsor who underwrites most or all of the expenses. For example, you have your 2009 Classical School Walkathon presented by the Acme Rental Company. And that would be your presenting sponsor where everything is associated with that sponsor. His logo is on your brochures and so forth, and we'll talk about sponsors in a little bit more detail. You may also have tiered sponsorships as well, where they can buy certain levels of sponsorship, not one large sponsorship, but instead someone's buying a table at the auction or they're sponsoring a hole on your golf course. A third income source would be add-on contests or raffles, if that's something your board allows. At the golf tournament, you can sell special events packages, which allows the golfers to participate in the games, the putting contest, a hole-in-one contest, and so forth. You can have raffles. Again, if that's something you're allowed to do, you can do like a 50-50 split where they're buying their tickets. 50% of what comes in for that raffle goes to the winner. The other 50% goes back to the school. At an auction, there are all kinds of different games that you can play that will engage your participants and bring in a few more dollars to your bottom line. And the fourth one that you can do is matching gifts. And this is, you know, real easy to overlook. I think we overlooked it in some areas where we could have been doing matching gifts and just didn't think about it. Matching gifts obviously are when an employee will donate to a cause and then that employer will match the giving that that person has done. So we have done matching gifts on all of our payment pages. We take payments electronically through an internet source, and on that form is going to be, does your employer match gifts? You know, yes or no. If yes, you know, turn in your forms and we'll receive those dollars willingly. This is great for your student fundraiser because those are straight donations that are going into that. So it's a perfect place for matching gifts to go up. Did you want to say anything on your budget at all?
Well, I was just going to mention that, and this is up to your board, of course, this is a board decision, but with our benefit auction every year, we go into our auction already with $20,000 because of the tuition raffle. Every year we auction off a tuition. Somebody, the winner, is going to be able to send their child to Cary Christian School free for the year, and we get a sponsor for that. And so there's a sponsor for the auction, Heister Automotive, a local car dealer, and then there's a tuition raffle sponsor, and that's well, for us, it's Bovenizer Orthodontics, and they've both been in those positions for several years, but they completely underwrite the tuition. So if tuition is $6,000, they write a check for $6,000, and then $10,000, we usually get that much participation. And so that's a great leg up before we even open the doors of the auction that evening. The online auction provides about another $10,000. So before we even open the doors for the auction the evening of our event, we have all that momentum going into it. You have to keep in mind, too, Gwen, because I'm busy courting individuals through the year, some of you might be sitting out there saying, well, we generate $250,000 at our auction. We actually do. We actually generate more money than what you do at Cary Christian School, and you've been doing it for a long time. But you have to keep in mind that I've got different programs running throughout the year. You know, we're in the middle of a campaign. I'm courting maybe 70 donor families throughout the year that she doesn't have access to because she's running an event. And so Gwen will generate up to, not this past year, but she can generate up to about $200,000 in the events that she's running to come alongside everything that I'm doing with donor development on my end. And so, anyway, I just wanted to mention that a tuition raffle has worked wonderfully for us and does really provide that momentum that's an encouragement for everybody who attends the auction and every family at the school. And getting an underwriter for that event so it doesn't cost you $5,500 on the front end that you have to pay back the school once the raffle is complete, is key to the success of a raffle. Okay.
Let me just continue on that thought then of sponsorships. And you can see here, this is our golf brochure, and I'll just hold up a different one here. This is our golf invitation that goes out to all the parents and other businessmen in the area. And as a presenting sponsor, you can see at the bottom there, presented by Chick-fil-A at Stone Creek Village. So they have given us $4,000 for that sponsorship. And we make sure that we predominantly show his name in everything that we do. We also talk with the owner of this Chick-fil-A and make sure that he's pleased with everything. Before this goes to press, we show it to him. You know, does this look acceptable to you? Is this what you were thinking that we would be able to do for you? And you know, they usually sign off on that or make any changes that we need to. As you're going through your sponsors, you want to make sure that you do keep them happy so that you're not having to find new sponsors every year. That will be so beneficial to you so that a bulk of your, you know, work is done the first year. The other thing that you can do is have your tiered sponsorships, as I said. We have a brochure that has paragraphs saying what a whole sponsor will give you, a lunchbox sponsor, other specialty areas where they can do a beverage cart and so forth. And then at the end, it just kind of summarizes it all for the person that we're talking to and gives you kind of a grid of, you know, you'll get four golfers or no, you won't and so forth. So they know exactly what they're getting in their sponsorship package and are able to follow through with that. The next thing I want to talk about is, or let me just say one other thing about sponsorship, is get creative and sell anything. You know, your sponsorship money is 100% money. There should be relatively no expenses tagged onto that. And so, get creative and as I said, sell anything that you can. We do a lunchbox, beverage carts, and so forth.
That's right. Also, the presenting sponsor, he won't just get mentioned on the front of the brochure. If you have a website, I'm sure all of your schools have websites, and you have an events page or your calendar, there when they go to find out information about the golf tournament, his logo and his name needs to be there, as well as a link to his particular store. If it's Chick-fil-A, it's just not Chick-fil-A generally, it's Chick-fil-A of Stone Creek Village. It's Chick-fil-A of Waverly Place. But they want to make sure that people are going to their Chick-fil-A. And so you got to think about ways in which you can promote the event. You also make sure that all your sponsors know that a part of the of what they're paying for is advertising in the paper. If you are sponsoring a tournament, if you're helping sponsor our tournament, you, along with all the other sponsors, are going to be listed with a big thank you in our local papers. So you get a little bit of publicity that way. People are interested in knowing who's giving back to the community and what ways they're giving back to the community. And so you need to present a package that's wonderful and full orb so that people can joyfully write a $1,000 check to be a whole sponsor at the tournament, or to buy an auction table down front for $1,500. And again, the reason why they're significant is because of the people that they bring to the tournament. If you want a third of the people in the room at the auction to be non-school families because they don't have the money, and quite frankly, they're just tired of giving to the school because they've already, this is the third event of the year, then sell your tables down front. And tell Mr. Bovenizer, who's an orthodontist, to bring all the other orthodontists that are part of his practice. And tell the pediatrician to bring his partners. And tell the development guy to bring some of the builders and folks that he works with. A third of the people, minimally, a third of the people at an event that you host for your school should be people that you don't know very well. People that aren't associated with the school. It's actually the only way to make it successful because you can only go back to the parent well so many times. And some of the families are at the school on scholarship. They would love to give dollars to the school. They just can't afford to do it. So part of your job is to think creatively in regard to how you can fill the room in such a way or fill the golf course in such a way that you can bring in new dollars and get introduced to new people. And then it's my job as the development director. Gwen's doing her thing to make the event a success and so enjoyable that everybody comes back next year. And I'm busy getting to know the guy in the room that I don't recognize. That's my job. She's taking care of the drinks and making sure everybody's got their food on time and that it's hot and handling things with the caterer. And I'm going from table to table shaking hands and asking the guy that I do know, who is that guy? And is he really interested in the school? Do his kids go to another private school? Does he have children? That's my job. Make the most of that hour and a half where I have that audience, 50% of which, or at least a third of whom I don't recognize.
So that's kind of the groundwork that you're going to be doing for your event, done by your development director or event coordinator, making your budget, selecting your venue, which I kind of skipped over, and just for time's sake. And then securing your sponsors. Another portion, you're going to find that you probably can't do most of these events by yourself, and you're going to want some volunteers. One of the things I think might be helpful for you if I share this is we had this handout. It's called Get a Glove, because we wanted everybody to get a glove and get in the game. And so every parent at the beginning of the school year filled out this survey, and I just kind of have a little excerpt of it, but it was two pages that lists about, I don't know, 25, 30 different talents that people have, and we wanted them to just check them off. And so when we needed someone to do photocopying for us, we could find those people that like to do it, send out an email, and all of a sudden we've got three volunteers. This was so helpful for us. This year we're going to do it electronically so we don't have to find the person that filled out data entry and hand them the stack of items to enter. But this is a great foundation to get your volunteer pool so that you're not also going to the same people all the time. We met a lot of new people just because we had this form and knew that other people had these talents of what we're looking for. When you actually go to find these people and you're doing your event, you'll find that every event, no matter the size of it or whatever, they're all going to require the same tasks that need to be done. You're going to probably need to get some kind of donation. The scale of that obviously differs from an auction as it does for a walkathon. You're going to need someone in charge of the facilities, a tech person or operations person, someone in charge of publicity and advertising for you, and another great person that we brought on a couple years was someone in charge of all these volunteers. And this is what we use for our auction. As I said, you know, a Stop Hunger project, we don't have all these people. Okay, but an auction, last year we had 120 volunteers that we were working with, and so we have this huge organization of people that we deal with and the job descriptions for them. We are nearly out of time, and we might want to go to some questions instead of going all through, you know, the different tasks here that people do, because I'm sure that you can logically think through a lot of the items that do need to be done in building that.
This chart would be very helpful, and what we can do is and we don't have it, I believe, on the table.
Correct.
Over there. But if you give us a business card of yours for the school with your email address, we can email this chart to you. But what it does is it takes, Gwen has a steering committee for the auction, and so yeah. You'll see that those dark blue fields in here comprise the steering committee, and then they're responsible to get a team of volunteers to take care of the things underneath each one of those blue fields. And so it's helpful not just for, like she said, for a golf tournament, for an auction, but for a golf tournament or anything else. You have to have someone in charge of communication to the community, communication to the parents of the school itself. You want to make sure that everybody understands the opportunity that they have, not just to attend, but ways in which they can volunteer, that type of thing. That's a big job, just communicating the details of an event to the population that you have before you. And so our desire today was to equip you to do what you're already doing, event planning better. That's why we have items over there for you to just take, plagiarize if you'd like, go through the catalog, get ideas for what you could be doing and what you could be procuring at your school. That's pretty much it. Do you have? Sorry, we're out of time. This always happens. It happens with me anyway. So, do any of you have questions that we might be able to answer?
How important is it to have a big name speaker or
person? The question was, how important is it to have a big name speaker at your events? And you're probably referring to maybe like an auction. We have never had one. So I'll say it's not important.
You know, but I do want to say that it's been very helpful to go ahead and hire a professional auctioneer.
Yes.
People ask every year, the first question they ask when we announce the date of the auction and we send out a save the date, which is important to do. In November, we send out a save the date for our February auction so everybody can mark that weekend and you know, set it aside. But everybody asks, is Jim Miller coming back? Because with Jim Miller, it's like dinner and a show. And we pay him about $3,500 plus expenses. And you say, man, that's expensive. But, of course, it's Cary Christian School, so they can afford it. But you can't afford not to have someone like Jim Miller at your auction. Because when it comes to the live part of the night, and he's up there, he can get more dollars out of a wallet, squeeze more in a very fun way for the whole room than anybody that I've ever met. In addition to that, he does consulting with you through the year. You have the opportunity to call him and set up meetings with him. And if you're doing an auction and you don't have a very good idea of what should be in the silent and what should be in the live and what types of things we should be procuring, and he had ideas for a fund-a-need. Mm-hmm. I'd never even heard of a fund-a-need before.
Right.
And we raised about $17,000 in 3 minutes. We'll be in the room and we'll be selling all these items, and they'll be on screen and he's taking bids, and he'll just quietly shut everything down. He'll say, look, the administration of the school has made me aware that you have a need. It's a need that can be met right here in this room in 5 minutes. We need $17,000 for this, and then it'll appear on the screen. And it'll be something that everybody in the room understands the need for. Everybody in the room could benefit once the need is met, and we have whatever it is that's up on the screen. And he'll say, I'm just asking you right now, $1,000 to help us here, and a couple paddles will go up, and then $500 and a couple more will go up. But we always raise between $15,000 and $20,000. I wouldn't have known about Fund a Need. And as a matter of fact, I was skeptical about the Fund a Need. I said, no, they're there to buy stuff. They want to give money and they want something back. And he said, no, this will work. Just trust me. He said, I do 60 of these a year. He said, you hired me as the consultant, so trust me. And he has so many good ideas because he does it every weekend. And you don't. You do it once a year. $3,500, he's worth more than that. I hope he doesn't hear this. He'll be charging me $5,000 next year.
Is he local to you guys, or is he?
He's in Chicago.
From Chicago, so you pay him to come down.
Yeah.
$3,500 is just his fee, and then you.
But that's right. But we get someone to we do procurement, and we get someone to just offer up the hotel room at no cost, and we do spend about, he doesn't require first class, we spend about $250 on his ticket, so there's not really that much in expenses beyond the $3,500. And because there's the consulting aspect, you can't afford not to have him, because he gets lots of dollars out of the room that you wouldn't get otherwise. You can't afford not to have him, because he's the entertainment outside of a band that plays earlier. He's like a two for one. He's a great man. Yes. There are $25 of Gwen.
$25. They're $25 each, or $500. And I can't even think of how many we sell, but
we raise about 10. It's close.
We've raised double the cost of a tuition. So our tuition's around $5,000. We raise at least 10.
And the tuition raffle sponsor is so happy because every week for 8 weeks he gets his orthodontic services. Think about it. You know,
yes.
What a perfect sponsor for a school, a dentist or an orthodontist or a pediatrician, when you've got all these young families at the school. He loves it. It's a great deal for him. As a matter of fact, 15%, 20% almost of the students that this particular sponsor has at his practice now, because we have such a big school, because we have 800 children, are from Cary Christian School. He's glad to write a check for $5,500 a year. That's just one. That's one set of braces. That's it. Yes.
Our live auction, we keep to about 12 to 15 items. This year we did shorten it because of the economy, and so it was down at 12 items. Normally it's maybe a little bit more, to 15 items. Mm-hmm. It is over in 35 minutes. 35 to 40 minutes. It does not take a lot of time. And we found that our parents are ready to leave at, 9:30, quarter till 10. It doesn't matter if it's a Friday night or a Saturday night, they're ready to leave. And so we have a really short time that we have them there at the auction, mm-hmm. to go through all that we need to do. That's another reason we don't have a lot of entertainment there as well, because we need to allow them time to go through those silent items on the table.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the silent auction
has many more items. We have three sections, so they'll close at different times, within 10-minute intervals. And so after an hour and a half of milling around and having dinner and listening to a jazz band or whoever we have for entertainment, Jim Miller will get up, our auctioneer will get up and say, 10 more minutes till this closes. And then the second section closes, and the third section closes. And they get more and more expensive. The items that are more expensive are in the third section. The bigger ticket items are over there because it requires more time to think about, whether you want to increase the bid. There's more activity over there generally. And so you're closing all these sections. But you've got a couple hundred items out there. And that's after we've already sold some online. I mean, we procured over 450 items or services last year for our auction. And we start 6 months ahead. In August, for our February auction, and this comes back to the organization that Gwen has brought to the team. We had our first meetings for the auction 2 months after the February 2010 auction. We started meeting already in April.
Yep.
And procurement kicks off in August. For a successful auction, you have to have two things. You have to have people to buy things, and you have to have things to sell, right? So procurement is just key. I'm more tasked with helping fill the room. That's what I bring to the auction, because I know the people, and I have relationships with the big guys down front who can afford the $1,500 tables. So my job before we send out the invitations is to get 200 people in the room, because that's through selling tables. And then all the other people come in the room because they're just responding, yeah, I and my wife want to come to the invites. And Gwen's job, along with her, Gwen now has an assistant. So my assistant has an assistant. And her assistant's job, when it comes to the auction, is being in charge of procurement. That's how important it is. And the importance of getting on it early is this. If we're asking, and you know, every restaurant in town, and restaurants are, restaurant gift certificates are just key. They're so easy, and they always go for full value as opposed to other items. If you're asking restaurants in August and September for about a February auction, they're not going to say no. They're not. You're going to, and if you ask almost anybody else, they're not going to say no. They may say, you can come back in November. Or, do you mean I don't have to give you the certificate until January? And we'll say, that's right. But they'll commit to it early. You can't wait till November and December, the busiest months of the year, to go to a restaurant, expect they're going to pay any attention to you at all or have time to listen to your spiel about our school and you know, and how great it is and all that, because they're busy making money as much as they can in those months. And they've already given away their monthly allotment. So you can't go in there and say, can I get something now? They never have it now. So this is the significance and the importance of starting in August. By Christmas, 85% of our items are in. We're not procuring in January and February for a February 5th auction. If that's when you're starting, you might consider just canceling the whole event, because it's going to be a frustration for everybody who's involved on the team. Organization keeps an event happy. Well, the event volunteers happy. Oh.
Yeah. We're out of time. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. If you want us to send you anything, just give us your email addresses, and that would be great.